This is episode 329 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, April the 25th, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
Look how technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McCollum and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. In what could have been seen as inevitable, streaming of media to our TVs, desktops and mobile devices is a step closer this week with the announcement that Hulu is preparing to launch in Australia, with sources close to the project flagging it might launch with or without the support of commercial free-to-air TV networks. According to Hulu's website, the company's mission is to help people find and enjoy the world's premium video content when, where and how they want it. Hulu, which offers free ad-supported, on-demand streaming of TV shows and movies, has been a runaway hit in the United States, where it garners hundreds of millions of streams a month on desktop computers and internet-connected TVs. Hulu is an online video service that offers a selection of hit shows, clips, movies, and more at Hulu.com. Hulu brings together a large selection of videos from over 260 content companies, including Fox, NBC Universal, ABC, MTV Networks, Comedy Central, National Geographic, Paramount, Sony Pictures, and Warner Brothers, just to name a few. Users can choose from current primetime TV hits, such as The Simpsons, Modern Family, and Glee. In a report last Thursday by Asher Moses, the strongest indication yet that Hulu is launching in Australia is that the company filed for an Australian trademark on March the 29th. Local TV networks have been reluctant to support Hulu because there is a fear that it will drive people away from their core business, that is, broadcast TV. However, some of the networks are embracing the service, fearing they may miss out on the capitalising of the shift towards online TV streaming. A network source close to the launch of Hulu in Australia said the local unveiling was not imminent, but was definitely on the cards, and the service would launch with or without the local TV networks. It's only a matter of time before we see companies like Hulu hit our shores, albeit from the other side of the planet. Locally, we have catch-up TV in one form or another, and as we're all buying internet-connected TVs these days, it's probably timely to consider a bigger bandwidth allocation when looking for internet access.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Streaming movies and TV shows to our living room screens gains momentum. Adam looks at high-tech wine bottles. Apple's Steve Jobs hopes to return to work, and Apple shares up with huge iPhone and Mac sales overshadowing a weaker iPad. But first up, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Hulu may be set to launch in Australia. Doctor Who star dies at the age of just 63. Top secret details of nuclear submarines are leaked on the Ministry of Defence website. Victoria Police red-faced over its failed Link project. Portal 2 is now available on Steam. And the Royal Wedding will be streamed live on YouTube. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The American IPTV service Hulu may be ready to launch in Australia. Hulu provides on-demand streaming of TV shows and movies, and up until now has only been available to subscribers in the United States. Its revenue is generated from monthly subscriptions and advertisements in programs. Hulu's content is provided in flash video format and supports a number of resolutions, including 360p, 480p, and 720p, which it calls high definition. According to The Age Tech, Hulu filed for an Australian trademark on the 29th of March. A network source told The Age Tech that the local unveiling was not imminent, but was definitely on the cards, and the service would launch with or without the local networks. But industry analysts say that Hulu's proposed expansion into Australia has been on the cards for some time. In 2008, Gizmodo reported that Hulu may be launching soon after they reviewed a beta of the service in November 2007. And founder of online movie rental service QuickFlix, Mr. Stephen Langsford, said that he'd heard speculation that Hulu will be coming to Australia soon for the last 3 years. The British actress Elizabeth Sladen died last week at the age of 63 after a battle with cancer. Best known for her role in the TV series Doctor Who, Ms. Sladen appeared between 1973 and 1976 as the Doctor's assistant, Sarah Jane Smith. She also starred in other BBC TV programs and made several guest appearances in the revived Doctor Who series with David Tennant. Ms. Sladen was described by her colleagues as funny, cheeky, clever, and just simply wonderful. Ms. Sladen leaves behind actor husband Brian Miller and daughter Sadie. The UK's Ministry of Defence last week admitted that secret information about nuclear-powered submarines had been leaked on the internet. Blacked-out parts of an online report could be read simply by copying and pasting the text into another document. The Ministry of Defence blamed the leak on a technical error and said immediate steps had been taken to ensure the document was removed from the public domain. A senior MOD source described the intelligence breach as hugely embarrassing. A 5-year database replacement project has been suspended by Victoria Police. Force Command says that another 2 years' work and an additional $100 million is required to complete the upgrade. The Link project began in 2006. It was intended to replace the Law Enforcement Assistance Program, or LEAP, a mainframe environment which was commissioned by Victoria Police in 1993. While the upgrade to Link was expected to be completed this year, Victoria Police last week announced the project would be halted indefinitely after 5 years and $45 million. In a media interview, Deputy Commissioner Kieran Walsh said that Victoria Police had underestimated the scale and cost of the Link project in its original business case. Deputy Commissioner Walsh said the Link project team was challenged with close to 200 interfaces, which include connections to external agencies such as VicRoads, the Sheriff's Office and Corrections Victoria. The Victorian Premier, Mr. Ted Bailiu, said he had confidence in Chief Commissioner Simon Overland's capability of doing the job, but that he expected these problems to be fixed by police command. The long-awaited game Portal 2 has been released by Valve Software through the online gaming community Steam. The original Portal earned over 70 industry accolades and created a cult following amongst gamers. By navigating a labyrinthine laboratory, players solve physics-based puzzles by creating and walking into and out of portals that challenge the concept of spatial dimensions. According to the Steam website, Portal 2 introduces a cast of dynamic new characters, a host of fresh puzzle elements, and a much larger set of devious test chambers. Portal 2 is available for the Mac and the PC, as well as Sony's PlayStation 3 and the Microsoft Xbox 360. And internet-savvy royalists will be pleased to learn that the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton will be streamed live on YouTube. Google's immensely popular video-sharing website will provide live coverage of the ceremony on the Royal Channel, starting at 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on Friday the 29th of April. YouTube says that complete coverage will be available for replay after the event. And in more good news for internet-enabled royal watchers, the royal wedding is mentioned online once every 10 seconds, according to a study by internet marketing agency Greenlight in the UK. Greenlight's study showed that online media, including news sites, blogs, forums, Twitter and Facebook, had seen a 700% rise in the mention of the royal wedding this month compared to March. Budding paparazzi can see more at youtube.com/user/the royal channel. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Now, strange things have happened during the course of the week.
I hate toolbars on browsers.
Yes.
That really drives me insane.
Yes.
That's used by television here, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's part of what's going on with the television when we all go digital.
The Winklevosses.
The Winklevi.
A what?
Yeah, they've got something else. So they've always got something else.
Take your finger off that button, Andrew.
In the last 2 days, I've listened to 7 weeks of Tech Talk Radio podcasts.
Angry Birds has also released their Rio game.
No.
Stop looking at me. It's getting a bit weird now.
Because it used to be called Vodafone, and then there used to be Hutchison. There used to be two, and then they got married to be three. Yeah. Oh, and a bit of Telstra in there as well, yes.
Hutchison used to be three.
No, three. Not three, three.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm confused now.
Lino, help us. You need to come back.
Not three of them. No, three. One of them was three.
All two of them.
Well, two of them was three in Vodafone.
I just went cross-eyed.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome to the Easter slash Anzac Day edition of Tech Talk Radio. Hello, punters. Welcome to the show. Come and join us on the chat. You can tell it's a holiday day today, but nonetheless, you'll be listening on the podcast. I can tell. Lena joins us. She returns. She has her iPad 2 here on the desk, and she is caressing it with her fingers as we speak. It's a very nice device.
I've been known as the squeaky one when I'm not here.
You are.
So the squeaky one has returned.
Yeah, we have to come and defend your honour.
I'll defend away.
See, even in you heard of the tease there that you were needed to come back to bring order to the chaos. I've even got fan mail for you again. I don't know what you're doing out there.
Oh,
but
really?
There's some fan mail in this evening,
Yay!
I think I saw. Dr. Ron's tweeting already. Evening, you can't tweet and talk at the same time?
I cannot.
No?
I'm taking a photo of Lena's new iPad, which I will tweet pic shortly. Very, very impressive.
It is. It's a lovely device.
Yeah.
I've got one similar to that. It just doesn't got a camera in it and probably hasn't got its battery life, but nonetheless, it's good.
And the case is quite cute, too.
Have you worked out the five-finger fondle yet? Can you squeeze it all together and it goes home?
I haven't worked on my multi-gestures.
Because you shouldn't be touching the big circle-y button down the bottom there. You can do it all from the screen now, allegedly. Or is that apparently?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I still have to work out all the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, that's what they say. And, of course, Rob Oakeshott. I mean, Graham Callaghan joins us on the end of the panel this evening. Good evening, Graham.
Good evening, Andrew.
Lovely to have you on board this evening on this lovely Easter break. And I think only Dr. Ron's been working at the moment. Bad luck, Sonny Jim.
Yeah, thanks for that.
dear. Well, the Royals are getting done very shortly, at the end of this week. In fact, could you imagine
getting what?
Tying their nuptials.
Yeah. If getting you married.
Yeah, that's that. That's it.
Getting done sounds like they're going to be offed.
Yeah, executed.
Let's hope that you can draw parallels to that, you know. They've changed her name from... What's
Kate to Catherine.
That's right. She's become more... I'm Catherine.
More regal.
Is that what it is? Oh, okay. So, but my point is that...
All the Kate Middletons in the world are having a lot of problems, I read today somewhere, logging onto Facebook, setting up accounts, doing things like that, because everyone's... banned the name Kate Middleton. It's like, you're not Kate Middleton.
There must be a few of them out there when you think about it, isn't
it? Yeah, it'd be hundreds of thousands.
And that was my point, actually, because these guys, the two royal couples that are about to get wed.
Now, one royal couple, two royal.
Can you imagine, because they're right in the one, yes, what he said. Thanks, Rob.
Let's not start that again.
Yeah, no.
At least there's not three of them.
Yeah, yet. what was I going to say? Oh, yes.
No idea.
They're of the generation where we like to Facebook and tweet. Mm-hmm. And those guys, they must be, you know, hands behind your back, royal whatever it is, protocol says, thou shalt not tweet.
Yes.
Thou shalt not Facebook. What a boring life it would be if you were those two and you couldn't get onto social networking.
The Queen's a gamer, though. Did you know that? She has a Wii.
Oh, yeah. She's also
the
got
royal
an iPod,
Wii.
Too. The royal Wii.
Yep,
the what royal does she play?
Apparently, she liked... was it tennis? I think she liked tennis.
Oh,
she thought it was. She called
I
it
could
quaint.
Just imagine Betty up there with the nunchuck and the controller in it. Yeah, Betty Windsor.
Lizzie.
Yeah. She'd be up there giving it a good whack.
She would. I can see her. I reckon when no one's around, she goes nuts with bowling.
She goes
or
off.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I wonder
dance
what her high
games,
score is.
All sorts of things.
What if she's got it connected to Charles's place down the road or the
Probably.
Other castle? That'd be good, wouldn't it? On the internet. Let's stop this right now.
did you see that one of the. Members of the Royal Guards got banned from attending the wedding, from serving at the wedding.
Serving? Ooh. Serving what?
Yeah, being a guardsman, you know, riding his horse and looking proper in his fancy dress uniform and all that. He's not allowed to go now because he said something nasty on Facebook about Catherine.
Ooh.
See, nothing's sacred in this social networked world, is it?
No.
Oh, well, there you go. Yes, I've had a wonderful long break.
Breaks. Keep rubbing it in.
Long
yeah,
breaks are when you do things at home, you know.
Yeah, five-day weekend. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's,
thanks
it's great.
Very much.
Can I tell you, I've been communing with nature.
Have you?
Yes, I have. I've been under the house and in the roof with the spiders, communing with nature.
Neither pulling, of those places sound very natural
pulling
to me.
Power cables, RF cables, which are antenna cables, and data cables through the wall for my putting a nice TV set on the wall. And I didn't want to see the cables. And let me tell you how much of a massive job that is, and don't ever underestimate people who do that for a living.
No, I know.
Because, of course, you want to put it in the most hard-to-get place, And yeah, it's not what you call fun, but it's done now. And then I got under also. Well,
there's people
the
who are experts at like, snake charming cables through walls and things like that.
A good cabler is worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yes, and you should pay them in gold too.
Not US dollars.
No. Well, we had now $1.08 yet. So, but no, it's that's what you do on Easter and Anzac Day long weekends. And did you go to the dawn service, Doctor? On you're a traditional frequenter of such event.
I am, but I didn't go this year. I was working today, so I had to be at work fairly early. So I didn't get to go to the dawn service, unfortunately.
Oh, well, you wouldn't have been able to hear much. Apparently, Melbourne's PA fell over, which was a bit unfortunate
for
those.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
And it was pouring with rain in Sydney. Did you see the rain teeming down?
I did.
Yeah. But it didn't dampen the spirits of everybody who was there, which was great to see. Had a great turnout.
Just darting back to the Royals for a minute, did you know Tony Blair didn't get an invite for Friday?
I didn't know that.
That's pretty controversial in itself, really, isn't it? Yeah.
He's only the former Prime Minister.
No, but every other former Prime Minister did.
Oh. Did they forget one or what?
You can speculate, Rob. That's good. I like that. It's
no one knows, I suppose.
No.
That's a bit...
How could you forget a previous Prime Minister? And it may be Darren in the UK over there has more
information. Well, he was a particularly well-known one, too.
Yeah, he was. And he was the man who always spoke highly of Diana. Maybe he's rubbed someone up the wrong way. And
I think it might be his wife's profession might have something to do with it.
I don't know what she does. What's she do?
She was a lawyer.
Oh.
Quite high up there. But she wasn't in the inner circles as such, apparently.
Okay. Well, there's only 1,900 guests going or something. Mm. Had to draw the line at a few people, didn't you?
Someone's got to not make the cut.
Exactly.
I didn't get my invite. Did you get yours?
No. Are you going to Logie's?
No.
No?
Okay. I haven't got my invite for that either. I don't get invited to anything.
You would have had a cool 900 guests at your wedding, wouldn't you?
Yeah, easily.
By the way, where were you last week? You were gaming. You were working, weren't you?
No, I was invited to be a secret agent.
Really?
By a games company.
Tell everybody. It won't be a secret anymore.
You don't know my agent name, though.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Lots and lots of fun. They're learning all about play and the loveliness principle.
The loveliness principle.
Mm. Yeah, I'll talk to you about it off air.
Okay.
It's a bit super secret.
We need loveliness in here because we got a bit angry and angsty last week, didn't we? It was a bit fiery.
Did we? What happened?
Yeah.
Lack of squeak.
Yeah. No, there was other things going on, but I can't remember what it was.
We didn't have Lena to keep us on the straight and narrow.
Mark was in. He was telling us all about the mobile networks and things like that.
And the fembots.
You did nerd it up.
That's right. We didn't fight with Mark, though.
I had to play that twice last week, Lena. You'd be pleased to know. Austin Powers.
The nerd alert.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean. There was nerd alerts going off. There were sirens.
Andrew nerd alerted me twice in the space of a couple of minutes.
You were talking about hats on dipoles and stuff like that.
No, actually.
There were klaxons and alarms. Red lights. Strobes were flashing.
I listened to it the next morning and I had to wait till afternoon because I wasn't ready for such full frontal nerdity that early in the morning, I think. I hadn't had my coffee yet and I just, taken aback. But it was good. I had no idea what you're talking about, but it was good.
No, and that's why we had to play the nerd alert alarm. Anyway, so there you go. Now, let's, before we hit the rundown, three, Vodafone. They've got issues again at the moment. During the course of the weekend, something happened to their SMS server. Something diabolical happened to their SMS server to the point where the Vodafone network yesterday had left Australians wide, so everyone around Australia, unable to send or receive text messages on their mobile phone. Now, I would imagine that the Vodafone market would be pretty much in the texting market. Probably not so much the older gents and the older ladies, but the younger folk would be big on the text, the two-finger talkers. So Vodafone have done dropped the bundle there yet again with their network-related issues. The problem began at around 2:30 with the company's website saying it had an unplanned service interruption that was under investigation while users took to Twitter to vent their frustrations. Now, isn't Twitter a wonderful place to just bring your Medicare card up and let fly? You've got to be careful what you say on Twitter.
Mm.
It can bring certain Australians down, and it has done so in the past.
And governments.
Really?
Social networking had a big part of Egypt and a lot of other things have been going on lately.
Very true.
Hmm.
7 hours the outage lasted.
Yeah. Yeah, seven
Isn't
hours.
Terrible.
Someone Do I get 7 hours list. Free now in my next bill or how does this work?
I doubt it.
Hmm.
I doubt it. Now, having spoken about one arm of VHA, let me speak about the other arm of VHA, an incident that occurred to me on the weekend, which I thought, how can this be? And in the nicest possible manner, I rang up and spent many minutes talking to a chap in Dubai or Mumbai or whichever bay he was in. And as a result, I was none the well, I wasn't impressed with the outcome. Let's put it that way. What had happened was my internet had locked me out from logging into their account-based system where you can see your credits and check your account and do all that sort of stuff. Have a username, a password.
Are you a Vodafone customer, are you?
No. Well, yes, sort of.
If you're not a Vodafone customer, it's not surprising you couldn't log in.
there is one particular device which is still part of that network, which runs around just because it's got $90 to go on its contract, and as soon as that finishes...
You're running that down?
And we're running that down, and then watch out. Yes, but anyway, what happened was I couldn't log back in using my username and password. Anyway, I rang up their help support center, as I was alluding to, and I said, hi, this is me, and here is my username, and I can't log in to my 3Online. Oh, that username doesn't exist, was the response from Mumbai, to which I said, hang on a minute. For the last 3 years, that's been working. All my devices that, you know, collect, you know, the apps you get, like the ones we've spoken about, which check your account balances and do all that sort of thing, all had the same username and password programmed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the gentleman at the other end, I said, do you think I'm going mad? Do you think all my devices that have been working flawlessly for 3 years with the same username and password, oh, no, you don't have an account? Was the response.
Mm.
Oh, good. So now I have to go back and reprogram everything, and it was just a really painful experience.
So what happened to your account?
What happened to my account? I don't know. He just said, no, you don't have an account, as in a logon to your account. It just vanished completely, thin air type sort of stuff. And I said, well, okay. So anyway, I now have another account, which I can log in and do the same sort of stuff, but I had to go and reprogram everything. And the whole upshot of it was at the end of the conversation, after I had vented my frustrations about said, you know, what type of organisations are you and you're giving me more reasons to churn away from you, he sort of turned his, you know, what they do, they do, oh, and by the way, did we solve your problem today?
Well, I love doing those surveys at the end of support calls because I absolutely can them.
I thought, yeah, red rag to a bull.
Yeah.
No. Oh, why? What's that? I said, I rang up here, wanted to get my password reset and you couldn't do that and I have to set up everything. I'm not happy. Oh, I'll give you $10 credit. I don't care what you give me. I said, I'm not a happy customer.
I'll swap you a $10 credit for my account being unlocked and available again,
please. Absolutely. And I said, at the end of the day, you know, this is not customer service. You are making more hurdles, more, you know, problematic issues for customers because accounts disappear and you have to recreate new ones and go, I have to spend half an hour going through all my devices and reprogramming it. Well, I'm very sorry about that. And anyway, we left bygones be bygones. I got a $10 credit and I'll probably churn in $90 time. So
yeah, $80 you're trying to run down went up to $90. They're just prolonging the inevitable.
They are. Mm-hmm. They're trying to hold on to customers, and this is a real problem, I think, with a lot of telcos. Oversell it, have poor service, people move. The only thing going for them, I guess, is how they bundle stuff these days, because they're all fairly competitive. But anyway, that's my weekend's thing.
Some people set up a Facebook group dedicated to the SMS outage last night.
Really?
Yeah, the Facebook group was called, hang on, I'll text you. LOL, joke, I'm with Vodafone. And this Facebook group attracted 20,000 members.
20,000
in the time of the outage.
And that'd be a small portion of the Vodafone customers who are very irate about such outages.
Vodafone said users may have experienced difficulties in sending SMS. We apologise to customers for the inconvenience. Did you experience difficulties, Lena?
Such monumental difficulties, I couldn't send a text message.
So you had to ring up.
I just experienced difficulties sending an SMS. Yeah. I could not send an SMS.
Can we put our conspiracy theory caps on here?
A text message either works or doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It's binary. You on forget or off.
That Lena is of the generation that can only communicate using their thumbs.
That's yeah. right.
No.
Can I put my conspiracy hat on here?
Go for it.
Yep. I reckon Vodafone was a bit hard up on cash, so they reckon, let's turn the SMS server off for a bit, and they'll have to ring, and they'll pay flag full, and they'll pay 80 cents a minute or whatever it is like that. Well, let's leave that run for a couple of hours, and we'll be back. We'll be flush again.
Get us back in the black.
Correct. Moving right along.
And do you really think that people would resort to ringing sufficiently to that, because they would have lost all the revenue for all the SMSs that would have been sent in that time?
I was on that note of on that slight to my generation, which I think we might actually share before you jump to any conclusions there. I was watching an interesting thing on iView today. I think it was Waleed Ali's Big Ideas show. He had a woman on there speaking about my generation and our tech habits.
Your generation.
Yeah, our generation and our tech habits. And they're saying how people always scoff and think it's silly that we're always texting and constantly using our thumbs and emailing and all that instead of calling, and how we don't have face-to-face relationships anymore and all this sort of guff. And her point was that our generation are in some ways more polite because we're texting instead of calling. We're texting and you can action that in your own time. We don't want to interrupt anything you're doing by calling you and demanding your attention right here and now.
Spin is a word that comes to mind.
No, that this is a finding, a full-on, she was all academic-y.
I have heard people comment. Can I delve into
your personal life here?
Sure, why not?
You're in a relationship.
Indeed.
Now, when I was in a relationship, it was pre-SMS. It just didn't happen. But to these days, SMS is everything. You date, you drop, you move on, and you court using SMS. Is that still the big thing?
Dumping via SMS is seen as uncouth.
Yeah.
And
not entirely unheard of.
Not unheard of. Oh, well, Sex and the City fans will know there's an episode where she's been broken up with on a post-it note.
That lacks couth as well.
That lacks complete couth. But no, it's there's things you do. It sort of complements your actual social interaction instead of being encompassing all of it, I think.
Yes.
As far as I can see, anyway.
Yes.
For me, other people go nuts and send thousands of text messages a day, but that's a bit weird.
It's funny, Telstra have got new plans where they're unlimited text now in caps, which is good. They're targeting that market. They're targeting the Vodafone market.
Yep.
And especially with people who probably said, right, enough's enough on the weekend, and they've moved across. Dr. Ron, you sent me a brilliant link the other day of the Vodafone...
Vodafail the musical.
Vodafail the musical.
Did you like that?
That is... I can't play it here. It's a comedy act which is based out of Melbourne, and something I can't remember what it is. If I go to the front page of our website, I put it up there.
Not safe for work, not safe for kids, minor course language at the start. But very, very funny.
And if you're a Vodafone person, you'll know what the words mean anyway. So
yes, you will have used the words yourself on numerous occasions.
There's a scene in there where the guy goes around with a piece, you know how that people stick sticky tape, garage sale things on lamposts?
And yes, like garage sale this weekend.
And my cat's missing and all that sort of stuff. They went around sticking five bars up with missing signal strength.
Yes.
Please call Voder on whatever their Vodafone help desk. Well, I thought it was very funny. But go and have a look. There's a link on the very front. It's in our little news section there. Click through and you'll go through to YouTube and have a good laugh. We did. It's Lady Gaga, with the, cigarettes and ice and all that sort of stuff. Very funny sort of thing. So. And I think that's just where everyone's at the moment with that particular phone company. Dr. Ron, you got some corro too.
I've got plenty of correspondence here. Speaking of generation gaps and text messaging, I thought I'd just mention, I'll put some links in the show notes too. There was a while back, maybe 12 months ago, 18 months ago, on the Jay Leno show in the US of America. They had a competition between two young Gen Yers sending text messages and two older folk who were radio amateurs. And
I remember this.
And they
this
had
very funny.
One had a Morse code key and the other one was listening on some headphones. And Jay Leno said, who do you reckon is going to be faster sending a message? The guys with the Morse code or the guys sending, like, texting? They had the fastest texter in the United States at the time.
Wow.
And so they had a script that neither of the teams had seen. And they said, ready, set, go. There you go. Send that. And then guess who won? Hands down.
Texters.
Nah, the Morse coders.
The Morse coders,
really?
Yep. And as soon as the message was received completely, I had to jump up and read it out. And the texters failed.
Because your average Morse code is, especially the old sort of military people could do 20 to 30
These
words per minute.
These guys were sending like 30 words per minute.
Andrew, where's your Nerd Alert CD?
Ooh.
Did you want me to play it?
In the box? No.
Do I need a Nerd Alert?
No.
There's something incoming.
You're confiscating the...
Hang on, I'll queue it up. Do you want me to...
I was
going to
ask Dr... No, I'm not going to ask it now that I know you've got it there. If it had been over in your box of discs over there...
There it is.
Nerd alert!
This is exactly what I was trying to avoid, folks.
Ask me quickly and I'll answer quickly before I can press play again.
Were they using proper keys or were they using paddles?
They were using proper keys, paddles.
Nerd alert! Nerd
All right.
alert!
Now that nerd alert was aimed at him, right? For calling paddles proper keys.
Oh, I want that button. No, I want the power.
You want the power. Correspondence this week, Andrew. You can send us your correspondence, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au. Longtime listener and chat room contributor Cisco via email says, geez, the 1 week I'm not online and you guys still asking about me. I missed the show.
What happened?
I was a bit tired to get up that morning. I'm currently, just heard the show now. I'm listening on the MP3 player. I'm fine. The line of storms missed my hometown completely.
Phew.
But that day I was in Tulsa and spent a lovely hour under hard cover with my in-laws while tornado sirens were screaming across the city.
Ooh.
Last week we said, I wonder if Cisco's okay because he's in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and he didn't pop up on the chat. He's a regular.
He wasn't in the chat room.
Is he there now? Mark Diggins is there. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. All told, we were fine, says Cisco, but a few places north of us, including a town in Kansas, weren't so lucky.
Mm.
I think I heard something about 16 people dead and a number of buildings destroyed, but check that for yourself. In any event, it was bad business. My prayers go out to them and their families. Welcome to the mouth of Tornado Alley, says Cisco. We've lived here since 97. So far, so good. Thanks for letting us know that you're okay, Cisco. You did have some terrible storms over there, and we're watching them on the news here. Mm. Long-time listener.
Yeah, those storm chasers are pretty impressive guys, aren't they?
By impressive guys, you mean absolute idiots.
Correct.
Yes.
Long-time listener.
Imagine getting sucked up in one of those, because you look at the cows going floating up in there, you know, and the sheds and the farms. Ooh, not
I'm all
good.
For putting drones in them.
You'd get some good video,
stay away
though.
From them.
Yeah. You would.
If you got sucked up, you'd hang onto your camera.
Of mud and things. Yeah, thrilling.
It's a twister. Sorry.
And first-time caller Ben, via the feedback form, says, "Hello, TTR." Hi, Ben. "I've been a listener for about 4 years. I've enjoyed the show over the years and think that Lena has been a great addition to the show this year."
Aw, thanks, Ben.
She's all right, I suppose. "I've had a very busy few months."
Do you know her, Ben?
No, I don't know any Bens.
Okay.
Well, I know Bens, but I don't know this Ben.
Not this Ben. "I've had a very busy few months," says Ben, "and I'm currently trying to catch up on the last 8 podcasts of the show via Google Listen on my HTC Desire. Currently listening to the nuclear debate during episode 13.
Oh, that goes off.
That was a heated debate. "Listening to the podcast as I do.
In the car park, if I recall.
Yes. I'm not usually in a position to note down or look straight away at the website and the gadget of the week. And these suggestions, while sounding great at the time, can be hard to remember hours or days later. Could you add a page to the TikTok website?" Yes, Ben, they're in the show notes, and he says that he found the show notes shortly after sending that email, so that's good.
Yeah, his initial problem was he knew they were in the show notes, but he couldn't find the show notes.
And where are the
show notes? I have problems with the show notes, too.
Where are they, Graham?
They're on the forum, forum.techtalkradio.com.au.
Keep up the great work, Ben. Thanks, Ben. We will.
Thanks,
Ben. What problem do you have with the show notes, Andrew?
You forgot his forum login.
You don't need the forum login to find the show notes.
Correct.
No, you can view them even if you haven't joined the forum. That's important to remember.
I just was missing a bit, but it came back. I found it. I had to dig deep and found them.
Forgot how to read.
Yep.
I remembered how to post the other day.
Shame. It happens to me all the time.
Are you a super user yet?
Don't stay. He's got his own special rank.
Yes.
He hacked the ranking system.
I did.
He's an anarchist.
I didn't like what it said.
Andy Bloom,
to me.
Via Twitter tonight, says, "Can I get a shout-out tonight? I'm stuck in Tramland. I'm earning a disgusting $65 an hour for doing very little. Hi, Andy."
Aww.
Tramland?
And Andy's usually logged into the chat, and he contributes on a regular basis.
Hmm.
So there's the shout-out for you, Andy. Have a good night at work there, stuck at work.
Stay safe.
We also have a Twitter shout-out to Two Crows. Two Crows Down says, "Got the TikTok radio stream piped through the truck's surround sound system. Unfortunately, heading out of 3G coverage, so I'll listen while I can." Then a few minutes later, about 20 minutes ago, he said, "Oh, next hill, I'm going to lose the connection." And a smiley face.
Vodafone.
Two Crows, you'll pick us up on the pod. Two Crows drives those big road trains out in Western Australia.
Yeah, I've seen his pictures. Wow. He's been a long-time listener, too.
He's been a very long-time listener. Carl via the feedback forum says, "Another great show, and Adam Turner's piece on digital and internet radio made interesting listening. I've had a digital radio for about 18 months. Yes, an early adopter. And it cost me a pretty penny," says Carl. "And I couldn't be happier with the sound quality. Reception was a bit ordinary at first, but seems to have improved greatly over the last 12 months. As for internet radio, I understand the attraction of a worldwide range of stations, but I can't say I'm a fan. Not only is it not very portable, needing a decent internet connection, but it also seems like a bad way to munch through your monthly bandwidth if you listen frequently. He says it's part of the bigger problem, in his view, of the push to internet streaming of music, radio and movies."
Mm. Yeah,
definitely two camps in this, isn't there?
Yeah, I agree with most of what he says. Yeah, the bandwidth issue is more a problem for some people than for others. For example, internode customers have unmetered access to a whole lot of radio stations that internode relay for you. So there's there's some people that don't have the bandwidth problem. But yes, it in general for things like
that
pocket.
Wasn't me.
Things go bing in the studio, don't they?
I forgot to mute it, obviously. For things that everybody is, you know, serious broadcast stations, it would be much better to use digital radio than to have everybody have their own separate internet connection to the stream, because it's just hideously inefficient. But for niche stations and specialised content, then yes, you can see the point of it. His point about the quality of digital radio, though, I found interesting, because for AM station listeners, it is nice to hear those voices. You almost don't recognise the voices of your favourite presenters when they're not on AM, because AM radio is hideously compressed and hideously limited.
It has a distinctive sound.
Range. It does have a very distinctive sound, quite different to normal sound. So you hear people that you're used to hearing on AM on digital radio, and they sound quite different, much, you know. But in general, the sound quality is not as good as it could be. Almost all the broadcasters in Australia are broadcasting very low bitrate streams that are really pushing the limit of what's acceptable sound quality. And in general, a good FM signal is going to sound better than the compressed digital signal.
Carl goes on to say, you'd far rather grab a CD or Blu-ray disc or plug his iPod into the hi-fi, knowing he can watch or listen in any room or even at a friend's place who has no cable internet as many times as I like for the one-off initial cost of the disc or song download.
Well, Mark Diggins, our regular correspondent and now back on the panel type sort of person, is currently using technology to the best. He's sitting around a campfire somewhere. I've just sent him on the chat whereabouts he is. He's sitting around a campfire, I'm guessing up around the Murray River somewhere, listening to us on internet radio.
At Corowa, he says.
Oh, there it is. He's come back, has he? Yeah, at Corowa. There you go. Campfire one, come in, over.
Base, and over. That's another good use of internet radio, because, of course, a local station like us, you know, can't broadcast, and most of the stations we're on around the world, around the country, can't broadcast to big, wide geographic areas. They serve their own local areas. So, yeah, when you're out of range of your favourite local station, then internet radio is going to save the day.
Yeah, and Darren in the UK makes a really good observation. Internet radio is the future. Digital radio is the past.
Yeah, wrong.
Look outside the square. Unlimited bandwidth here in the UK. And it's the same in the US. Unlimited bandwidth. The amount of money you pay is proportional to the speed you get.
Is coming to an end.
Well, no, not really. Not really. Not from what I've heard. They are putting exceptionally high caps on them, if that's what you mean. But at the end of the day,
that's what's known as the thin end of the wedge, Andrew. They're trying to get Americans used to not having unlimited bandwidth.
Oh, negative, dear. Nancy.
That's true.
Long-time listener, Levi from the United States.
I love this. Cora's going to go for half the show.
Come on, Levi. Why shouldn't it?
Absolutely. And if you want to send us an email, we might read it out before we go off.
Okay, on tonight. The subject of femtocells. We're talking about femtocells last week with Mark. I know what femtocells are here for, but if they cost so much and have so many problems, why do they continue to push them? Why not, instead of femtocells, don't they make it so when you're at your house, it will be voice over IP and text on your home Wi-Fi, and then over the net. That way you aren't spending tons of money on the femtocell and the service fee for the cell. But Levi, I think they want you to spend tons of money, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although a lot of phones do have Wi-Fi and the ability to run applications that would be able to do a VoIP phone, not every phone does. There's still a lot of phones out there that don't have that. Plus, it would be held or integrated with the network, I would have thought, too.
Levi says they are making more work and adding an extra chain in the link with the femtocells. Most of today's phones have Wi-Fi. Yep, and most of today's phones have Wi-Fi compatibility of some sort. Well, back to what Graham was saying, some do, some don't.
Yeah.
I saw a really good thing with the CSIRO recently, and they are the Australian government body that invents things. They invented Wi-Fi, for goodness sakes.
Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation.
Thanks, Rob. And as a result, what they're doing is they're putting a little application onto mobile phones which uses the wireless connectivity of those phones to actually extend the range of mobile coverage. So you don't need a cellular base station to use a phone, because theoretically each phone can be its own cellular base station and relay calls. And that was really good. They demonstrated it in the Outback recently. It's a great success. So you can, if someone's in range, you can connect, providing everyone's running the same little app, and off it goes. I think it's a great idea.
Well, Mark was saying last week that we're effectively paying three times for these femtocells, aren't we? Mm. Outright for the device. We're paying our own internet bandwidth and traffic, and we're still paying for our calls.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but they're not a good deal.
They're not a good deal for the customer. They're a good deal for expanding the phone network. But if it's an option that is helpful to you, then maybe you'll overlook all that and you'll pay the money. Yeah,
the times where it's going to be a genuinely good option are going to be very limited.
Mm.
And in most cases, unless you've got a really good reason not to, you're better off just choosing a carrier that's got better coverage where you are.
Correct. Thanks from your long-time US listener, Levi. Thanks, Levi. And if you'd like to send feedback to the panel, the email address is feedback@techtalkradio.com.
Or even emails like we've got tonight. You can distract us for the first half hour of the program too, anytime you like. Just send them on through. It's all jokes aside, it's fantastic the amount of feedback and correspondence we're getting from listeners. It's good. Keep it coming. We love it.
Always good, yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent. Just send the bad stuff for Dr. Ron.
Why shouldn't we spend a decent slab of the program talking about what our listeners want to talk about?
Mm. Correct. And if you feel the urge and you're listening live, come and join us in the chat. chat.techtalkradio.com.au.
And if you're listening on one of our other stations around the country or on the pod or anything else, then go to forum.techtalkradio.com.au and you don't have to be there in real time and you can take part in the discussions there.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You've got to remember that compression is not your friend.
Is it for credit cards only, or is it FBOS as well?
Steve Wozniak, the traitor.
I'm down to four cables again, not 14,000. Go away. Click here to upgrade.
If you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways.
Optus have said sorry, and so say all of us. Fantastic.
This
all right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Ah, yes, welcome back to Tech Talk Radio, the Easter long weekend edition, and the chat room is filling fast. And Anzac Day too, yes. You're listening to Lena Van Deventer, Dr. Ron, and Graham Callaghan down the end there.
On Nancy.
The, Nancy. Nancy. Nancy now? Negative Nancy.
They're all gagging up on you,
this
Graham.
This is why we put you in the middle, Dr. Ron.
They'll be cake, don't worry.
The cake is a lie. I discovered last night.
It is.
Damn you, Lean. You've got me playing this damn Portal game.
Excellent game.
And I mentioned Portal 2 in the news, but I'm still getting through Portal number 1.
Yep.
How many levels are there? Did we decide not
19?
19. I'm up to level 17.
You got too much spare time on your hands,
Dr. Ron. I don't
know.
That's the problem, but I have to
play. You should be at the photocopier, not playing games on your computer.
You're right. I started dreaming about these damn...
Hello, Astra.
Portals.
These damn portals and these laboratories and all the science experiments that these people are conducting on me.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it's driving me crazy.
Anyway, there's good use of technology out there at the moment. Mark Diggins is listening to us from far away at a campsite. On where was he? Corowa.
Up in Corowa.
Up on the Murray there, which is good. See, mobile broadband's great for those sort of things. So, and welcome all. If you're listening to us, come and join us, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. There's a few joining us at the moment too. Hi, Bogus Jimmy, the newest recruit. Julie. Oh, okay, cool. Here we go. Hi, everyone. Welcome aboard. Just before we get onto the rundown, because we haven't done that as yet.
We haven't technically started the program yet. We're an hour into it.
I was tweeting Adam Turner today, because we've got Adam Turner's bit coming up very shortly. He's talking about QR codes, but he's just done a piece in the Sydney Morning Herald and the Age called Tech Detox, Getting Away From It All. Now, I'll just...
Why would you need to get away from tech?
That's what I was sort of saying to him. I said on the tweet, I said... You got to be kidding. That's the boffin's challenge, isn't it? When you go away, you want to take it with you. You want to make sure it all works.
Absolutely.
And it's hardly what you call getting away from it. But anyway, he says this and you go read his article. It's on Twitter and just you'll find on those websites. The phrase internet addiction is thrown around too easily these days, but I think it's fair to say that many of us spend too much time staring at one screen or another. Health experts tend to recommend moderation in all things, and just like an alcoholic-free day, or week, abstaining from tech for a while might help you recharge your batteries.
No,
true
thanks.
Or false?
No, false. I get nervous without my tech. I really do.
So it's a drug for you, is it?
It is.
You go, you get the shakes.
I just feel like I'm disconnected from the entire world if I don't have... Yeah, I just really hate
it. All right,
it.
Let's define this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about tech or internet?
Both.
Okay, so you know that great thing, I can't live without my mum, that great saying. Could you live without your internet?
No.
Oh, okay, there we go. See, that answers the question. It's the internet thingy, isn't it?
I could, but I'd be miserable and bored.
Dr. Ron, can you disassociate yourself? You do when you walk your dog in the park, don't you?
When I walk my dog.
No, you don't. You park, glimpse. No, you don't. Wrong, Andrew.
Wrong, Andrew. I glimpse and I listen to podcasts, use my phone as a music player.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see if we could, disconnect ourselves from the internet but still have technology. How would you go with that, Lena? If we said you couldn't be connected but you could have a music player or you could watch TV.
I'd frantically download for a few days previous and then have enough stuff to keep myself occupied I was offline.
This is why I intentionally stay about a month behind in my podcast for a lot of things too, so I've got a nice stash there in case I'm stuck.
This is what happens
if I have to go for a long drive or something.
People every day around the world when they're on planes. You might be on a plane. If you haven't got internet on the plane or in a car on a long trip or something, what do you do? How do you occupy yourself?
If you don't have any connectivity on a long train trip.
Not good.
I save up beforehand.
You could read a book.
What? What's a book?
It's something you read on a Kindle.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, but that's frantic downloading beforehand again. That's just organisation.
Graham, could you disassociate yourself? Spend a lovely weekend on a yacht with no internet connection, or would you have to take a satellite phone?
It's funny you should ask.
Oh, is that why?
I'm going to find myself in that position later this week, later this year, I mean, of being out of range of everything, and I'm thinking that I might have to take a satellite phone just in case of work emergencies.
Oh.
I would break out in hives.
I don't plan to be technology free, though. I'll just be out of range of all the networks. So I'll have podcasts and videos, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to save this Portal game that the guys have been talking about to play it during that time as well. So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That'll keep you occupied.
See, that's where technology is good.
But your particular example of being on a yacht, that would soothe it for me a lot because I do like being on the water. But, I would be very...
But you'd be tweet... No, you wouldn't tweet. And you wouldn't Facebook.
I don't tweet that often. I certainly don't Facebook that often.
He tweeted twice in 1 week the other week. Did you see that?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I must have missed that.
I thought I was going to see a pig fly past the window any minute.
Keep your head down. That'd be...
I tweeted again tonight.
Holy.
Did you?
You tweeted that one hashtag.
Yes.
Aren't I following you anymore? I don't remember that, but anyway.
Not.
Bogus Jimmy in our chat room says he just came back from 2 weeks in the Cook Islands with no internet. It was weird and refreshing.
Yeah.
Maybe a forced. Really?
Yeah, honeymoon in the Cook Islands.
Did you have internet?
No.
But you had other things to do.
They had at the hotel, there was a...
Presumably.
What did you do?
At the hotel,
you're on your honeymoon and you've got no internet.
Lena, you not tweeting is like
this
day without night.
This was 2007. This was before I had Twitter.
Okay.
This is way back. But, there was a computer in the lobby that was connected to the internet. Everyone could use for emails and whatnot. I used that when I had to.
When you had to, when you were forced to, when there was nothing left to do.
Cook Islands is lovely, though. Everyone should go there.
Cook Islands?
Mm.
Haven't you been out that way, Dr. Ron? You went there at some stage, wasn't it?
Cook Islands.
No, you went to New Guinea. No,
I went to Vanuatu.
That's the place. That's close. New that place, isn't it?
Mm. I climbed up an active volcano.
Yeah, they got a detention centre there. I think the government's trying to put them everywhere out there.
It was in hindsight, Graham, yes.
There was a lot of coups going on in Pacific Islands when we were getting married, and we were trying to choose a place to honeymoon, and we thought, well,
Fiji's a little nice.
And then they had a coup.
Kandarambuka.
F1J1.
Then we thought, I think Vanuatu, and there was a coup there or something, and then there was a coup somewhere else, and we went in Thailand, and then we said, right, where's there not going to be a coup? So we went with to Cook Islands because it's owned by New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, New Zealand money.
Cook Island is owned by New Zealand. Isn't it a territory of New Zealand?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Not owned by. But, you know.
Captain Cook got out there and stuck his Kiwi flag in there, didn't he?
Probably not going to be a coup.
Bogus Jimmy says internet was $15 for 50 megabytes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That'd knock it on the head fairly fast, wouldn't it?
That's a bit like cocaine, really, isn't it?
And 100 grams of ham was also $15, so, you know, it's expensive over there.
Oh,
you'd find a way to do without internet.
You would,
$15
wouldn't you?
For 50 meg.
Yeah. Or you'd ration it. It's a bit like plugging into a hotel in some parts of the world. They charge you big bucks.
We used to pay that. Remember the days when it was timed?
Some people on Telstra plan still do.
I know. Remember, we used to pay like $5 an hour for internet access. If we'd had left our dial-up running for 3 hours, we might have only downloaded
outrageous.
50 megabytes and we would have paid $15.
Anyway, so that was it. That's Adam's article about how whether or not you can live without, you know, tech or detox or whatever. You know, sure, so Mark's a great example of that sitting up on the river at the moment in New South Wales. Took it with him. I know I do. It's always a bit of fun, some of the apps you get to do it. Now, let's talk a little bit about technology, what we do on this show on a regular basis. It's sad news this week. which we'll start off with, which Nori, how do you pronounce his last name?
OHGA,
who used to be the former president of Sony, is the man credited for inventing the compact disc, as we know, and he passed away at the age of 81. He led the company, that is Sony, from 1982 to 1995 and passed away in Tokyo over the weekend. Sony's chairman, Sir Howard Stringer, said his predecessor's foresight and vision had transformed the company into a global entertainment leader.
It was this guy that also put Sony on the direction of games as well and led to the PlayStation development.
Yep.
And it's also his fault that CDs were 74 minutes long.
Yeah? Why is it? Is that a problem, is it?
Because, it was at his insistence on the original commit. It's not a problem, it's just...
It's just he chose that number, did he?
He chose that number because he wanted the whole of a particular piece of music to fit on one CD and be able to play it uninterrupted. I think it was Beethoven, was it?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, I didn't know that. Mm. You're a wealth of information, so...
How do you know all this stuff?
I read...
Keeps it in his head box.
Or his Kindle.
He kindles
in the train.
That's right.
I'd like to send a cheerio to my daughter who's in the chat tonight. Hello, Georgie.
Hi, Georgie.
Go to
Help
bed.
Yourself, Georgie.
Absolutely. She's eating Easter eggs. Have you seen them? They're on a high. Did you get lots of Easter eggs?
I got lots of Easter eggs from Georgie last time I was around.
Oh, yeah, no. Yes. She goes and gives them to the people in the street. It's then I come and give her more back. It's hilarious.
Melted in my pockets and stuff for days.
Yeah.
The Easter bunny was a bit hungover at our house.
Really?
Yeah. We saw that. They came after the afternoon sleep.
We went to the drive-in last night for the first time in 25 years. Got a flat battery.
Oh. Yeah, what happened there? I saw you tweeting about that. How do you get a flat battery at the drive-in?
Well, you listen to the sound system through your hi-fi system in the car now, and you crank the volume up because you want the THX whiz-bangery sort of thing in the car, and here we are, you know, open the back door up of the vehicle like we've got a station wagon. So the kids, we're all sitting in the back watching this big screen, which is very good. We watched Hop, by the way.
Ah.
Which was a bit of fun. And the kids just... There's a mosh pit at the bottom of the screen. I don't know whether you notice this, but no. If you ever go to the drive-in, your time will come later. You'll take your kids to the drive-in because you do. You do it once. It's like going to those places you go to once. And anyway, they run around like headless chooks underneath the drive. And then the film starts and they all stop dead in their tracks and come back to the cars and watch the film, which was really good. Mm. And it's great until you get to, you know, because you turn all the lights off and you do all the right things and the battery goes flat. Either my battery is... nearing at the end of its life, but it was...
The radio shouldn't really flatten your battery over
No, it shouldn't. I'm thinking it's probably the wireless networking and the tweeting and the high-tech gadgets in the car that were running similar.
And you left your headlights on high beam too.
No. It was running a wireless hotspot and a few other things in the car throughout the course of the evening, and you go to start the car and you get that lovely... Rrr. Yeah.
What was that?
Rrr.
Nice. I'm not the Foley person anymore.
So anyway, many hours of junk food later, and it was really good because there were a lot of good Samaritans out there running around with cars with jumper leads on them because we weren't the only one to get a flat battery at the drive-in. Others did
That's
the same
interesting,
thing.
Yeah. I didn't think they had drive-ins anymore.
There's two in Melbourne.
There's one down at Mount Martha, isn't there?
There's three in Melbourne. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, it's Dramana.
Yeah, there's Dramana, one in Dandenong, there's one in Dramana, and there's one at Coburg. I believe three notorious spots. So, anyway, there you go. Microsoft is going to go 100% recycled. How about this? Software giant Microsoft expects to save 8,000 trees each year by changing from 30% recycled paper stock to 100% recycled paper stock. Believe it or not.
What do they need paper for anyway?
Well, I don't know. You would think manuals would all come out in CDs these days and stuff like that, but maybe it's their internal use. The company expects to order an additional 426 cartons per month after it rolls out a program to all of its US operations. That's paper, that is. Yes, Microsoft, the statistics. Microsoft said the move will cut back on 5 Olympic-sized swimming pools of waste paper, roughly equal to 12,500 cubic metres. 8 garbage truckloads of solid waste, 340,000 tons of carbon dioxide, and lots of other little things that they've drawn there. But no, it's good because Google have been good citizens economically, environmentally for some time. They've got solar panels on all their roofs at Building 42 and 3 and all those places in Mountain View, which generates around about a third of the company's requirements for electricity. So they're drawing that. And that's pretty
only
good.
Only a third, yeah.
Well, every bit of surface space they've got's got a solar array from the bike shed through to the top of the building. So
fair enough.
But they've got a fairly big server farm. But maybe it's not all on site either, I would imagine. Not a Mountain
maybe
View.
Maybe, probably not. I would also imagine you could cut down a lot of paper use just by reducing the number of printers in an office. People print when they don't really need to. I reckon if a big company, like Microsoft, said that there was only allowed to be one printer on every floor of the building, then instead of having people having printers in their offices and in their little groups, you know, one printer on every floor of the building, then people just, they wouldn't print because they wouldn't bother getting up from their desk to go and pick it up out of the printer, and they'd only print what they really needed to.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. All right. Now, let's, from one major company to another, let's talk about Apple, shall we?
Yay!
Yeah?
Let's.
All right. You've got your new gadget.
I have.
Hopefully, it's working for you. Did you know that if the iPad that you have there, mm-hmm. which you probably spent, what, $500, $600 for? $700, $800?
Yeah, around that.
Okay. Did you know that if that that device was made in the United States,
oh, I did see this.
You would pay around $14,000 for that device.
Was this on Hungry Beast?
Yes, it was.
Yes, yeah.
It was. It just goes
it's
to show
just the child slave labor that's keeping all the prices
down.
Yeah,
and all that. And you'd
in
be pleased,
third world and developing
you'd be
countries.
Pleased to note that Foxconn, which is the organization that actually makes a lot of the componentry for this device. Mm. They've actually strung nets between windows to stop jumpers.
Yeah. No, Foxconn make everything you've ever touched. They make stuff for Sony, Microsoft, PlayStation, Xbox, Apple, everything. They make everything, Foxconn do.
Good. Mm. So it's not just Apple that drives people to distraction.
No.
Oh, excellent. I'm pleased to hear that. anyway, Apple posted better than expected March quarter sales profits, especially with the huge iPhone and the Mac shipments. The iPod sales were much lower than expected at just 4.69 million shipped versus the expectations of around 7 million units. And this is probably because the iPad 2 supply problems and low demand for old iPads leading up to the iPad 2 launch. In other words, saturation comes to mind. Mm. Everyone who had an iPad 1 couldn't justify going to iPad 2. But for those who didn't have iPad full stop, iPad 2 was a damn fine option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got a 2 if I had a 1, but I didn't have a 1, so I got a 2.
Yeah.
Well, very logic.
Apple shipped 18.65 million iPhones during the quarter, more than doubling year over year, and 3.76 million Macs, representing 28% year over growth. Not bad. For a the Cupertino startup that Mr. Jobs is at the helm of at the moment. He's coming back, did you know? He wants to come back. He's not feeling too well at the moment, but when he feels better, he's coming back.
Mm.
So, which I thought was really quite admirable of the man. I do have a lot of respect for this. He's a fairly amazing businessman. I wouldn't want to be doing business with him, but he's a fairly amazing businessman if you've read all the stories that go around. So
you're reading a book about him at the moment, aren't you?
Have read. Yeah. You need balance. You've got to go and read Woz's side of the story as well.
Yep.
So there's I Woz and there's I Jobs.
Right.
Which is called Icon, really. Icon. Yes.
Okay.
Just that he didn't follow through on the book title series. He's employee either 0 or 2. And that's a very interesting question. If anyone knows the answer to that, what is Steve Jobs' Apple employee number? Because Steve Wozniak has number 1. So what do you reckon Jobs
0.
is? 0 or 2? I don't know.
0.
I don't know the answer to the question. You reckon 0, do you?
There's like a binary
I'm sure
joke.
Someone out there will tell us in the chat and someone will send us an email, but it'd be very interesting to know. Maybe he's listening.
Steve,
send us an
if you're listening,
email.
Yeah. Tweet us or email us.
Oh, no, never come up
get
in the
well
chat.
Get well soon, Steve. Send me stuff.
Yeah, send us lots of free Apple stuff.
Oh, really? Do you want it?
Yes.
Oh, well, someone does.
If he sends us a free iPad, I'm not going to throw it away.
Now, from the sublime to the ridiculous, iPhones tracking owners' movements. Did you read about this? This has caused a bit of a ruckus in the United States to the level of one senator sending Mr. Jobs a please explain letter.
Why don't people turn off their location sharing?
Yeah. Security researchers have discovered that Apple's iPhone keeps track of where users go and saves every detail to a secret file on the device, which is copied to the owner's computer when synchronized. The file contains the latitude and longitude of the phone's recorded coordinates along with the timestamp, meaning anyone who stole the phone or the computer could discover details about the owner's movements using a simple program.
Turn off location sharing.
I don't think it's a thing you can turn off. I think that's the problem. But it's also on Android phones.
Yeah. It doesn't just record
it's on everything.
For if you've got location sharing turned on, I understand it records it if you've got any location awareness turned on at all.
So if your location is known to the device,
yes,
it'll record it.
It records it in this file.
Yeah. Oh, that is a bit evil, yeah, isn't it?
But it's not transmitting it to anything. It's just a file sitting there.
It's just saving it.
It is transmitting it. Yeah, Apple are collecting the information. That's why they write the file.
They're not, though. They're not collecting it.
Is this your conspiracy hat on, or is this
for real? No,
they're
not collecting it.
I'm sure they are.
They've said in a... didn't they? They were subpoenaed by someone, and they were told to please explain, and they've said, we're not harvesting it, and here's the proof.
Oh.
Android collect things as well, though, for the record.
Oh, I'm sure they do. They all do.
The Android comes up with a warning, though, when you turn it on. Do you want it to provide anonymous location data and all that sort of stuff?
To Goog.
Yeah.
But theoretically, if you turn a phone's GPS device off, and you turn your network-related information off, so you just use the phone as a phone, mm-hmm, then it theoretically can't get information, can it?
Unless then, it gets cell information. Then how does your Find My iPhone and Find My Android, all those things work if you turn all that off? You see what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Good question.
Mm.
And there's lots of good apps which do those sort of things. You can text funny things and it makes it chirp, even when the volume's down and stuff like that. For those who like losing their devices underneath the back of the couch and spend ages working for it. I wish I could find something for my wallet. That'd be good. Yeah. You know, where's my wallet? Oh, has it gone through the washer or the wringer? How many times have you found it underneath the clothesline out the back? But maybe that's too much information. Anyway, back to the iPhone. Apparently, this tracking file is no accident and no byproduct of the onboard GPS. Only the iPhone's records the user locations in this way. So it's an iPhone-centric method of recording it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is according to Pete Warden and Alistair Allen, the data scientists who discovered the file and are presenting their findings at the Wear 2.0 conference in San Francisco the day after tomorrow. So there'll be more of this coming into the mainstream. So, yes, conspiracy theory? Maybe.
No.
Is it akin to Google driving around looking at wireless hotspots and who's got what and where? Is this sort of Big Brother again becoming your mobile device, knowingly logging your every movement?
Well, it begs the question why they've got it in there. It must be a routine that's been written so that, with a particular purpose in mind. I don't understand what that is that they could be doing with all that data or why they would want it written out.
Mm.
But they've obviously put the routine in there for some reason. Maybe it was put in there and not removed at some point.
There'd be several good technical reasons why you might want to do that. You might want to use it in conjunction with other information. So even anonymizing the information so that you're not associating it with a particular user, it might be very useful to collect information on, say, a phone network might want to collect information on what signal strength they were and what cell they were connected to in association with where they actually were at the time. That sort of information
could be
might
good
be useful
law
for
enforcement agencies if you've got some sort of like federal organisation said, where were you? And you can't get the exact records of a phone company.
There's technical reasons without going outside to law enforcement and things like that why you might want to do it. The other sort of information you might want is information about where you are in association with what Wi-Fi networks you can see, because that helps other location identifying services work for devices that don't have GPS.
We've got a really good app of the week coming up this week.
Do we?
Yes. And it's all about what we're talking about now. But you'll have to wait for another 45 minutes thereabouts. Or spool down if you're listening on the pod. You can go and find out what it is.
Yeah, click and drag.
Then come back. Yeah, but you'll never come back to the same spot, have you noticed?
Yeah, it's really hard to find.
And we'll change the subject now quickly so people have all sorts of difficulties coming back. No, we won't. Apple are suing Samsung over the iPad 2, believe it or not. A key component.
The iPad 2 or the iPad as well?
The iPad in general, because Samsung, which apparently is a key component supplier, that is, they make the bits that go in there, Apple are having a go at them for copying their devices. Surprise, surprise. The Cupertino computer maker said Samsung's Galaxy S 4G, the Epic 4G, the Nexus S, and the touchscreen tablet infringed on its intellectual property. The lawsuit was filed in a Californian court, so... they haven't really gone into great amounts of detail in respect to what it was, but I think it's tit-for-tat sort of stuff. The stoush may complicate Apple's relationship with Samsung, which supplies flash components for Apple's iPhone and iPad and manufactures key parts for all of its A4 and A5 mobile device processors.
I find it very frustrating, and this happens a lot, and this story is one of these examples, where you get such vague reporting of issues like that, where they don't tell you the people who are writing the news articles don't tell you the detail of what's going on. Oh, yeah, they're suing them over something. It's something vaguely tablet-related. Well, what is it? Just give me some hard information. Don't write an article full of vagueness. Please, what is it? What's the thing?
They can't go into detail because of legal issues.
Then say so.
Yeah, well, valid point.
Yeah.
Valid point. All right, Tech Talk Radio. You're listening to Graham. That was Graham, actually. Ron in the middle, Lena down the end, and me on the other side of the panel, Andrew McComb. Adam Turner is one of our regulars, who we've spoken about earlier on in the program, and tonight is no different. He has a view from the couch. Have you played with QR codes at all, Dr. Ron?
I've played with QR codes. They're those funky two-dimensional barcode-y things that you can read with your mobile phone.
Yeah, yeah. They've never really sort of amounted to anything yet in this country. Anyway, they may have in other areas.
I'd like to see them amount to something. It'd be good to start using them a bit more, I reckon.
They do have some niche users, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yes, Telstra, I think, tried it a while back. They were doing movie poster things, or you'd do something and send something somewhere and something happened.
It's good for that sort of thing. You just scan it and it takes you straight to a website or something like that. Yeah, so you're having to key in a website on a mobile phone.
And you can even embed things into them, like a lot of information, such as like contact cards and things like that.
For appointments, you can have them appointment information encrypted in them, so it goes straight into your calendar.
Business card information is really good, and even Wi-Fi hotspot information.
Wi-Fi passcode information.
Yeah, so you can walk into an area, scan a QR code and connect to the network without having a key and a password.
What is it that Australians have about not really using QR codes?
Well, we should take it upon ourselves to use them more.
Yeah, no,
spread the word.
There's a good use for them that's come out just now. Adam Turner is going to enlighten us with his view from the couch for this week.
Adam Turner's view from the couch.
QR codes on wine bottles? I'll drink to that. CellarKey aims to stick QR codes on wine bottles so you can learn more about wines while standing in the store. QR codes are one of those clever concepts which is surprisingly underutilised in Australia. They're basically square barcodes which you can photograph with your phone, usually sending you to an online resource such as a web page, video, coupon or map. They can even contain V-card data. QR codes are platform agnostic, easy to print, easy to read and even easy to create. They've been around for years and some businesses have latched onto them, but I'm surprised they're not used more considering how practical they are. Telstra trialled using QR codes a few years ago, but I don't think much came of it. There are also plenty of good QR code reader apps for the likes of Apple's iOS and Android. I've been playing with Bakodo on my iPhone, which scans QR codes and traditional barcodes. But I'd like to find an app that offers more detail on Australian barcodes. Scan to List is supposedly handy for groceries, but I want to know more about general products. Android users should check out QuickMark QR Code and QR Droid. Now, Lion Nathan Wines and Fine Wine Partners is the latest group to jump on the QR code bandwagon, printing them on tags hanging around the necks of wine bottles. While standing in the shop, you'll be able to snap the QR code on the tag and visit a website where you can read reviews, tasting notes and winemaking notes, explore the winery through a video and learn about recipes along with food and wine pairing ideas. It's very foodie. It sounds like a great idea if, like me, you wish you knew more about wine and how to choose a good bottle. QR codes on wine neck tags are a great start, but I'd like to see them on bottles. So if I taste a wine I really like at a party, I can look up the details or maybe even order it online. Some winemakers such as Brown Brothers already have a lo-fi equivalent with tiny tabs you can tear off the label and stick in your wallet for future reference. As it is, these days I'd probably photograph the bottle's label and stick it in Evernote so I could easily find it the next time I was in the bottle shop. I've written about QR codes in the past, but I must admit I haven't paid that much attention to them. Now I've got a QR code reader on my phone. I'm keen to see what I can do with it.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
So there you go. Use for a QR code. One of those two-dimensional things, aren't they? They're not really.
They're two-dimensional.
What are they? They're flat.
Yes.
Just search for QR code online. You'll see what they're like.
They have length and they have width. So two dimensions. Traditional barcodes have one dimension.
Okay. There you go. See, you learn about barcodes on this program. It's good like that, isn't it? Following up from the Apple story we had just before about location, Apple users consent to the spying app. It's in the terms of conditions. They draw your attention to it when you actually load it up on your iPhone. If you haven't read the 326 pages of terms and, you know how they bamboozle you with science? No, it's the other way around, isn't it?
Words. They bamboozle you with words.
Lots of words. And if you don't read them all, it's buried in there somewhere. So it is on part of the terms and conditions. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But anyway, Wednesday in the US, we'll find it a little bit more.
What's the name of the file? I'm going to search for it on my computer at home. Does it say there?
Got an Apple iPhone. What are you going to? You won't find
it. I've got iTunes.
Unless it's something you're not telling us, Doctor.
No, I've got iTunes, and I've got I've got an iPod Touch. Mrs. Doctor Ron's got an iPod Touch. I wonder if that does the same sort of location recording stuff.
It
that knows where it is.
Doesn't
it's got Wi-Fi.
Say on the. What the file name is. You'll have to dig a little deeper on the internet or ask our clever users on the chat. Someone might know.
Come on, clever users on the chat.
.techtalkradio.com.au.
Yeah.
In other news, the search engines are seeking Aussie safe harbour. Now, this is probably in relation to things on people's networks, which they want to deny all knowledge of, because how can you know what someone's put on your web servers? You just don't know what everyone's doing all the time. So, as a result, we have this thing called safe harbour. The Australian Digital Alliance has commissioned a paper by copyright academic Kimberly Weatherall, which calls for search engines and other web properties to be given the safe harbour protections under Australian law as telecommunications carriers and ISPs. Australian safe harbour laws offer legal protection to service providers from being sued over copyright infringements, provided that they act in good faith towards content providers. Now, this has been very in the news recently with IONET. And AFACT.
Yes.
So we've spoken about things like some organisations run fairly sizable computing networks, such as universities and the likes, but they don't, I think, extend safe harbour laws to those sort of organisations. It's only to telecommunications and ISP carriers, as mentioned, where in good faith, if someone puts a song up there, for example, and they shouldn't, the ISP's not going to know about it, are they? So it's good faith, and that's the safe harbouring. So search engines looking for the same type of thing, whether something gets returned in a search result, I guess, and then where they get safe harbour from that, so that if someone returns an illegal image, maybe, because look at all the image searches and stuff like that. Some of those would be copyrighted, wouldn't they?
Mm. Oh, heaps of them would be, yeah. Huge proportion would be.
So anyway, that'd be interesting to see where that goes.
I
can't see why they wouldn't get it if they ask for it, because it's like a
telco. I'm not sure that if they took it through Australian courts that they wouldn't find that they had it already, or that they could establish it through the courts.
I guess just at the moment we're seeing a lot of muscles being flexed in this arena, so why not add another few cents to the to the equation, I guess?
It's kind of common sense. I mean, when you do a search on Google and you see that one of the results has some copyrighted text in it, no one believes that Google has caused that to be online. Google are just reporting that it is online.
Hmm.
So, but then again, the whole IINet thing was common sense too, and that went all the way through the court system for years on end.
Well,
AFACT's now seeking a high court ruling in relation to that decision that was made against them.
Yes, they have, haven't they? Mm. That'd be interesting. Anyway, take it all the way to the top. Kimberly Weatherall, who was part of this this report, she went on to say that her legal assessment is that 15 years after AltaVista search engine was launched, a search engine could still not operate fully from Australia without facing the risk of copyright infringement. And likewise, setting up a locally hosted Facebook, YouTube, or WordPress blogging site can also open yourself up to liabilities that are unique to Australia. Did you know that, Dr.
No, I don't know about that. I don't think a search engine has ever come under fire for being in that position.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Going back as far as AltaVista? Oh, good times. AltaVista.
Who bought that out? And whoever bought them out, who bought that out previously too? Gee, that AltaVista, that was the world's first search engine, wasn't it?
It used to be my search engine of choice over... And then Yahoo came along.
Really?
Mm. Then Google came along.
Dogpile for a while. Do you remember that one?
Who?
Dogpile.
No.
It was a little... When there was a whole bunch of search engines that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I
Instead of
that.
Clicking search, you pressed fetch.
Aww. And what it did was it organised the results from a whole heap of different search engines, so you could run your search on a whole lot of different engines. This was before Google had the monopoly on it.
Mm. Well, now Bing's going these days. Anyone use Bing as default? No.
I've used it accidentally.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, and then you immediately go and set your default search
to Google and your research.
Yeah, you do, don't you? Hey,
completely ignore the search results that come back. And
I saw a tweet of yours today. What's going on with Facebook and
IE6? Altavista is now owned by Yahoo, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yes, Altavista is now owned by Yahoo. What's going on with IE6 and YouTube?
YouTube, is that what you tweeted? You couldn't watch IE6 YouTube on IE6 now, is that
correct,
right?
Correct. They've turned it off and they've said, please go away and upgrade to a real web browser. It was the error message you get on YouTube.
So does that mean a lot of people, including a lot of government agencies, public service, because I know when we do web development, I know the Victorian State Government, they love IE6. That's it. No more videos for you guys. Is that right?
No more video. You cannot go to YouTube.com. If you go to YouTube.com now,
what does it say?
With an IE6 web browser, you get an error that says, just give me 30 seconds.
Have you got an IE6 emulator running there on your little notebook, have you?
No. But I
did you tweet it?
I tweeted it today in frustration and anger because I wanted to see something on YouTube and I couldn't from my work computer.
Your employer will next give out chisels and tablets.
Yes, thank Stone you for that constructive reply, Leader. I saw that today.
It says, your browser is no longer supported. Please upgrade to a modern browser.
That's what it says.
And gives you a banner with Chrome, IE8, Safari, Opera, and Firefox all across it.
Thanks,
nice.
Graham.
Nice.
Funeral March should come across as well.
Where did you pluck IE6 from that quickly?
I can do anything.
You can. Yeah, that's very impressive.
You might have to be upgraded. You know, no longer Rob Oakeshott. Hear me, Julia Gillard.
I'm running Windows XP on my...
I did notice you're running XP on your Windows 7 laptop.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask how that's happened.
It just happens.
I'm just going to look straight ahead. Face the front, Dr. Ron.
XP'd.
Stop asking awkward questions.
Quite deliberately XP'd.
So there you go. Yep, IE6 users, Victorian government users, other government users that have IE6 installed
have
on their
the
standard operating environments won't
webpage?
Be able to access YouTube.
No, would you like me to?
In IE6.
It says this is a tad awkward, but not quite as bad as Dr. Ron's choice of music.
Is that still there? Oh,
that's
damn.
Still there. Please go away and get a real web browser. I think
is that what
the
it says?
The Tech Talk Radio homepage shuns me as well.
It does too. Look at that.
IE6 people... get a life, as they say, really, isn't it? Yeah, good. Here we go.
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
There's lots happening in the computer games land at the moment,
there
isn't
is,
it?
There
hackers,
is.
You know, unscrupulous people, all sorts of things, and Nintendo up to no good. What's going on?
Up to no good.
I don't know. What was
they're up to good things, Nintendo. Yep, there's a new Wii coming.
You've got very loud all of a sudden. Off you go.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm usually quite soft.
I'll turn the music down. You're talking over the music. There we go.
Oh, that'd be why. The Wii is bringing out a successor in 2012.
The Wii? The Wii 2?
Well, it might be called that, but I doubt it.
Yellow Snow?
It's nicknamed.
Is that its code name?
No, it's nicknamed as Project Cafe is what they're going by.
Never read the Yellow Snow.
Which is the cool name they usually give before the dorky name, and even the cool name is dorky, so God knows what it'll be called.
Ah.
But they're going to be releasing a playable version at E3. Not releasing it, sorry, but there will be a playable
demo.
Version.
Yeah.
Yeah, demo at E3 this year.
Cool.
Which is pretty exciting. Everyone's speculating on what it'll be and whether it'll... They've said they want to try and recapture the hardcore market instead of the families with their... casual games and whatnot, so that'll be quite interesting to see how they're going to implement. It'll obviously mean a new controller because you can't play first-person shooters on the little Wiimote. So it'll be interesting to see the kind of thing it turns into.
So when's this all going to happen?
Hopefully it's HD in 2012.
Well, it's going to be better than 480p or whatever you get out of the goddamn thing at the moment.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Well, when you think of its competition as all running 1080, progressive. Yes, it would be fairly bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but it's...
But it's a great console for kids.
It is, yeah.
And I love it for that. My kids love it.
I think they're starting to sort of...
Betty likes it, you were saying earlier on in the game too.
Lizzie? Yes, the queen has a royal Wii.
Does she?
Yes.
Good.
Do you get it? The royal Wii?
Yeah, the royal Wii.
I thought went over your head, but didn't. It just wasn't funny.
Nah.
It was a really exciting thing happened this week. Any Borderlands fans would have heard about it.
What's Borderlands?
Borderlands is a game made by Gearbox Software that features a little robot who sort of acts as a little tutorial person, guiding you through the game and showing you around the place and telling you how to make things work and everything. His name was Claptrap. And there's this man called Ben in the States, I think he's in the States, who's a massive Borderlands fan, absolutely adores it, met this nice girl called Tora, sat down and had the talk with her, which goes along the lines of, honey, there's something you should know. I'm a gamer and it takes most of my time. And if you're not up for that, see ya.
It'd be a deal breaker for a lot of people.
It would be a deal breaker for a lot of people. Instead of
you put that in the prenup these days?
Probably, yeah. Instead of it being a deal breaker for Tora, she went, cool, have you got another controller? And so they've been playing this game together ever since. Aww. And having a great old time. Now, Ben contacted the people at Gearbox Software and they made a little video for him of Claptrap proposing to his girlfriend for him. So he's decided to pop the question and Gearbox have helped out and actually made the character and the voice actor come together and do this very funny, very, very funny video for it. And, yeah, you should all check it out. I'll put a link down somewhere.
Cool.
But
tweet it.
Yeah, it's he's a little bit potty mouthed, but nothing too bad. They do bleep right at the appropriate moments and whatnot. But it's funny. it's very, very cute and very funny. And I hope she said yes. I would have. I think that's very sweet.
I went to borderlandsthegame.com. Is that where I should be?
Yes.
Okay, I had to make up a date of birth and pretend I was over 18.
Yep.
And now I've got, there's Claptrap. Claptrap's new robot, Revolution.
This is the DLC you're looking at, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but it's a great game, absolutely fantastic game. But,
you're a Portal user too, aren't you now, Dr. Ron?
Yes.
Oh, I am.
You've got Lena to thank for that or blame for that.
The cake is a lie.
The cake is a lie.
No, I've got Lena to thank for that.
You'll be back on Warcraft before you know it, son.
No, he won't. Not if I have anything to do with it.
I'm cool again. I got off Warcraft. Yeah. I uninstalled Warcraft. Now, I have to finish Portal and then I have to buy Portal 2.
Correct.
Have you got Portal 2?
Yes, I haven't.
Can you go straight to Portal 2 if you haven't done Portal 1?
Yeah, you can, yeah. Oh, yeah. It might just be a bit more of a learning curve, but probably not. Yeah, you could probably jump straight in.
Before the show, that's what Lena does. She sits out there on her little apple thing and builds a few brick walls and these little green slimy things come after you and zap you and
in
do
Minecraft.
Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. It's what you do when you're a gamer, isn't it?
It is.
In your spare time.
You play games.
On the train, on the plane, in the car.
Anywhere I can.
Absolutely. Hey, the PlayStation Network suspended over external intrusion.
Yeah, what happened
What's an
there?
External intrusion?
They got hacked. They got hacked. Well, good.
Now, what happened here? This was something to do with multiplayer, sharing games with your friends or something, wasn't it? Where you came in and you couldn't.
The PlayStation Network was down. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what happened?
Anonymous, a few months ago, said they had their sights on PlayStation, but then this attack, they've said it wasn't them. So, it might have been a few anonymies acting.
Anemones
acting vigilante style on their own, but Anonymous is saying it wasn't them, but someone has hacked in to the PSN and it's been down for about 3 days now.
Users are
seeing 4 days, almost 4 days of disruption.
Dr. Ron, you sound like you're counting.
I am.
Okay, well, apparently users are seeing error messages stating that the network is undergoing maintenance or is suspended. Is that what you're seeing?
There's a big sorry for the inconvenience.
Oh. Yeah. And Sony have owned up to this, haven't they?
They have. They've come out and said it was an external intrusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it's not cool.
So what doesn't work?
You can't download any new titles. So
that'll hurt their bottom line, won't it?
Yeah, it doesn't act like a shop like it should be. The shop is closed. And I think they're having a few issues with
iView still works.
Multiplayer and whatnot.
Yeah, you can't challenge other people to play games.
That's what I was heard.
So you can't have multiplayer games over the over the internet,
which is the whole point of the PlayStation Network.
Okay,
access to the PlayStation Store. All multiplayer gaming is gone, and some titles are unplayable online or offline.
Oh, it's also got Curiosity going too.
Has it?
An external intrusion on our system has affected our PlayStation Network and Curiosity services. That's the new music service that they launched probably 2 months back, I think, wasn't it? You pay your $10 or whatever it was, and you then go and do stuff, listen to music.
Ah, okay.
I think that was what Curiosity was. And it popped up in, where did I see it? I saw it somewhere. Anyway.
A lot of the games have a certain DRM on them that requires you to log into the PlayStation Network to play them.
Don't use acronyms, not explain them.
Digital rights management. Yep.
So even if you've bought the game, you've got the disc, you still can't play it if it's not connected to the network.
Yep.
I hate Sony for that sort of stuff. Yeah. They are,
luckily, it's not everything. It's just a few things had that, and then they saw there was quite an exodus away from that kind of thing, so I don't think they do it anymore. But,
this is the same company that rootkitted our PCs because we wanted to
listen
to a CD.
That?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
We will never forget that. Never.
That was Sony BMG, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Sony, yeah.
And
or EMI?
No, it was Sony. Sony on a couple of discs before the antivirus software basically brought them to a grinding halt.
Mm.
and said, this is, what did they say? There were errors like, this is nasty, intrusive stuff, and block it. So
So this is not cool for Sony at all. They'll bounce back, of course, but it's doing a bit of damage to the overall network. That's pretty much all I've got.
Oh, really?
There's a lot more funding going into locally into the games industry at the moment, which is really good. Film Victoria doing a lot.
That's got to be good.
Yeah, Game Plan.
I know a little young person who wants to write video games when they grow up. He aspires to that.
Yeah.
So it's good. I think
time to start saving now because he won't be able to afford to eat later. But, you know, he might if Film Vic start helping
out.
And all
Daddy drives a Porsche, he'll be fine.
Oh, fine, good. Then he'll have the most fun he's ever had in his life.
Okay, yeah, good.
Yeah, Skills Hub and RMIT University have joined together to make Game Plan, which is a way to fill in skills gaps in specialised screen industry roles. So, yeah, there should be some good things coming from that. And the Film Victoria did a big funding pledge a month or so ago that was good as well. So there's good things after the crash of the industry where it was looking pretty grim for the Australian games industry. I think it's going to start to pick up, which is really exciting.
Oh, that's really good news.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't looking too good there, I think, a couple of weeks back.
No,
you were saying.
Wasn't.
Some were closing down and people were moving on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where does Australia sit in respect to game development? Are we like a little backwater like we
pretty
are
small.
In sort of that sort of... where's its hub? Where's the hub of game development? Is it the US?
Yeah.
Is it Silicon Valley?
Well, actually, at the moment, it's Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Vancouver is where...
What do they develop up there?
Or everything. Ubisoft's up there, as well as in France. I think they've got one in Canada as well. A lot of publishers.
So chances are your best games come out of Canada?
At the moment, yeah.
Wow.
It's actually pretty good. Now that we've got digital distribution around, it's a lot easier to get your game out there. It's harder to market it, but it's easier to get it out there for people to play. So there's a lot of word of mouth going on, and it doesn't really matter too much where you're from anymore, as it used to. But Australia's pretty small in terms of what we're doing.
I could imagine. Oh, that's good.
There's a big title coming out soon that is an Aussie one. Team Bondi doing L.A. Noire, which is going
What's
to
that
be
about?
Huge. It's a detective story based in sort of, I guess you'd say, 1920s era.
Okay.
Sort of Mulholland Drive type dealio. Sort of Sopranos, but ages
Sopranos.
Ago. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Sounds like a bit
and
of fun.
And it looks fantastic. They've
When's
done,
that schedule?
They've done...
Crystal Ball? We're talking weeks, months, years?
Quarter two.
Okay, so not far off.
Yeah, I think quarter two. They've got done motion capture on the faces for all the characters, and so the facial movement is outstanding.
Oh, very good.
In terms of prettiness. So he's hoping the gameplay holds up. By the sounds of it, it does.
Excellent. Mm. All right. Thank you for the update in the gaming world.
No worries.
There's been a lot of games played at our place in the last couple of days. Easter holidays
like
and school holidays. The kids love it.
Yep.
So the parents just quietly. Although I've got one member of our family who can't even hold a Wii controller, not to mention no one. All she says, turn it down. But
you
anyway.
Should get a Kinect.
Yeah. Oh, no. That'd be scary.
There's no learning curve with the controllers because you're just waving your arms about like Minority Report.
Yeah. Well, she does that pretty well. But anyway, we're moving right along. Doctor Who is a wonderful science fiction program which aired on the BBC on Saturday night.
Yep. First episode of new
series. Series 6.
Yep.
And it's as without wanting to get too much into detail because people, it airs on the ABC this coming Sunday night. So they're eight days behind what's going to air in the UK.
And the ABC don't have currently a high definition channel to broadcast it on, so I will not be bothering to watch.
And this is my, this is where I'm alluding to. This is,
it's broadcast on the BBC in beautiful high definition, 1080i.
Yes, it is. And yours
and
truly has seen
gorgeous.
It. It's a wonderful, absolutely terrific production standards. Like one shot of this, their production would be equivalent to, I reckon, a couple hundred grand of, you know, Australian local production. It's just a really well-made BBC production, well worth it. And it's in high def. You're missing out if you don't see it in high
def.
So
how will you be watching it, Graham? You can reserve the right not to answer that question.
I think it probably would be quite clear how I'm going to watch that show.
Read between the lines. But
yeah,
full
high-definition glory.
I'm going to watch it in high-definition the way it's intended.
As it was intended, yeah.
You won't be the only person doing just that, especially...
And I'll almost certainly go out and buy it on Blu-ray when it comes out.
Likewise.
I'm not in that business of watching things that way to avoid paying for them. I just want to see them the way they're supposed to be done.
Exactly. And that's
why ABC, why on earth don't you have a high-definition channel to show this stuff instead of showing, you know, stuff that people have shot on their mobile phones as news and people sitting in studios? What a waste of a high-definition channel.
Nerd alert.
I was he's
not
passionate. That's not nerdalert stuff.
Yeah.
That's a very passionate type sort of approach. And yes, I have to agree. But yeah. I was talking to an industry colleague of mine the other day who was basically, I raised the question about, are we going to see more paper, more multi-channeling, or are we going to start trending back towards HD? And he was of the opinion, and he's a fairly well-respected chap because he knows what he's talking about.
It is possible to do both.
Once we lose the analog completely of, you know, the old 4x3 stuff, then things will start to improve resolution-wise.
There'll be more radio space available. Is that the reason?
Will be, I don't know. He didn't go into technical reasons, but basically he was saying once we get rid of the boxy but good 4x3, Channel 7s, 2s, 9, you know, the single, you know, the stuff we used to watch.
Oh, yeah, the old analog
stuff.
Yeah,
the old analog. Once that goes, things may turn around, which would be very
good.
Now,
I think I heard a rumour somewhere that Channel 10's high definition channel is a sports channel called One, and they just basically do sports all day. And I heard somewhere that that's
about sport
in a certain amount of trouble and isn't doing so well.
On the contrary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's...
Are you sure about that?
I'm fairly sure about that. It's probably one of their better channels. They're happy with it, put it that way.
I heard that they weren't happy with it, so that's...
There's rumours that a certain media mogul is coming in and is wanting to... We'll talk about this off-air because I don't think we're going to this on-air, but it's a...
Okay.
There's some interesting stuff happening in that realm at the moment. And, of course, as we know, Channel 10's... having a board change as we speak, and there are new players coming in, and there's a lot to do with that.
Perhaps the new board might want to think about what they do with their high-def channel, and that there's a lot of really good high-def content out there. You know, if Channel 10 put in the bid to buy Doctor Who off the BBC instead of...
They put commercials in it. That'd be worse.
Well, maybe they could put commercials at the front and end of it and have it sponsored by, brought to you by, and...
Absolutely.
Yeah, they can be creative about the way they do these things.
Anyway, Doctor Who had 6.5 million viewers on opening night. That's a lot of people in the UK watching that as a first-run television program, and rightly so. And, of course, production quality is sensational. But I won't spoil it for you, Graham.
Now, don't tell me what happened.
I'm not going to.
I mean, it's because I'm going to watch it later on.
Doctor dies.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
twice.
Dear. Which video game have you been playing?
Yep. He goes back in time, does it again.
Does he?
Yeah, he's always.
Oh, he's done that a few
times. He's always doing that.
Spoiler alert.
That's nothing.
It's just another day at the office for the Doctor.
No, it's still the same Doctor. Still the 11th Doctor.
Yeah, it is. And this is Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron, Graham and Lena and Andrew in this evening. And we have probably about 15 minutes to go before we go to the Oddspot Gadget website of the week. Just a passing notation. You remember...
It'll be less than that on the podcast.
It will be. You know Eugene Kaspersky? Remember him? He's been on our show.
Yeah, his company writes antivirus and security software, yeah.
Did you know his son was kidnapped?
His son was abducted.
Oh by God. Aliens.
That's shocking.
Not by aliens.
Oh, sorry.
By real people. Real monsters.
Never let the truth stand in the way of a good story.
It's not funny.
Sorry.
Laugh.
No.
Russian police on Sunday freed the son of tycoon Eugene Kaspersky after a 5-day kidnap ordeal, ending one of the highest profile abduction dramas in Russia in recent years. Police officers, agents from the Federal Security Services Bureau, there you go, and the special OMON police squad freed Ivan Kaspersky, who's just 20 years of age, in the Moscow region. So there you go. Well done.
When I Google the keywords Kaspersky son abducted, all the Google results are .ru websites, and I get really nervous clicking on links to .ru websites.
Do you? Why?
Yeah, don't you?
You can't speak Russian?
I thought
just because they're always
get another bride.
They're always infected and another get another bride. They're just always full of viruses. I hate going to the Russian end of the web.
Oh, really? The Russian end of the web? I've never heard it called that before.
There you go. There's an ad right now.
Oh, dear.
Maybe it's because I click on them haphazardly. Oh, now you've done it, Lena.
Uh-oh.
You forced me to click on that.
I didn't force you to do it. I pointed at it, and you involuntarily clicked.
Oh, it just happened.
You're saying goodnight to people in the chat now.
Eugene
Uncle Gus is off.
Was on our program. He was on a few years ago, wasn't he?
Was.
You were talking to him about his antivirus and internet security products.
I'd love to have a beer with Duncan in the pub with him. He'd tell some great war stories. Especially in Moscow in the Cold War.
So is there a happy
war.
Ending? Has the son come back to his...
Yes.
They found
him.
The Wallopers rescued him.
5 days later.
Oof, is he all right?
He's come up for air. I believe so.
I hope so.
There was nothing untoward. But anyway.
Kaspersky was safely released due to well-planned police tricks that misled the kidnappers, according to a Russian newspaper.
Sounds like an American movie.
It almost does.
Yeah. I probably will be one.
It will. I'm sure it will be. All right. The Odd Spot, the gadget, the app, and the... What's the other one?
The website.
That's it. Coming up after this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
If you're using satellite for your internet, you've got a very long lag time.
How does $3,005 grab you?
Whoa!
They'd probably get rid of the step-up, step-down transformer issue and waste it.
So this has got a whack of zero, this
correct
control.
I don't have shares in them. It's not a political statement. It's just a lot of fun.
Qantas are wanting to clarify.
Ironet have just assimilated Netspace into the Borg.
Entertaining.
Graham, the name of the volcano was...
It's unpronounceable.
Informative.
Oh, look, hang on. The back it says iPad.
Independent.
You tweeted it.
Me? Don't point at me in that tone of voice.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
This is never going to get off the ground.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool! This thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
Long-time contributor GJMCN says, here's some fuel for the tech masses with lower bank balances, the Belkin Bluetooth music receiver. Plugs into a stereo or AV receiver. You can play your iPhone, iPod or other devices that are enabled with Bluetooth technology wirelessly through your home stereo. It's a clever little gadget. Transmits up to 10 metres, remembers up to 6 paired devices, comes with cables included, compatible with all A2DP stereo devices A2, enabled with Bluetooth technology.
Like R2D2.
It's adaptive, what is it, Graham? Yeah, off the top of your head, A2DP?
It's high quality stereo music over Bluetooth.
Over Bluetooth.
As opposed to
low quality.
Voice quality
headset
phone
stuff.
Calls.
And data pairing Bluetooth stuff. It has a 1-year manufacturer's warranty. GJ says, I've just have a new iPhone and this way I can control my amps in the lounge room and the bedroom from the bed or couch using the iTunes controls native to the phone.
Isn't this good? Because this is where a lot of these new gadgets and apps are going, because you can all remote control them from your phone.
I've been watching the Yamaha equivalent and it's hovering around the $120 range. This is the alternative for anyone with spare RCA or microphone inputs. This hovers around the $50 range and it's available at the moment from Officeworks in Australia.
Officeworks?
That's our
You're
gadget.
Kidding.
No, the gadget, Andrew, is the Belkin Bluetooth music receiver.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
www.surveymonkey.com.
Oh dear, what happens here? You survey a monkey?
Well, you can if you want to. SurveyMonkey is an easy-to-use survey website. You can sign up for free or pay a small premium for professional access. You simply sign up with a valid email address, then choose a theme, add your questions, distribute the survey link via email or Twitter or Facebook or whatever you want to do, and start collecting your responses.
I've seen surveys from these people.
Have you?
Now you mention it now. Yes, I did one not just the other day.
Now by going pro, you get unlimited questions, easy downloading of results, ready-made survey templates, and many more features. The professional packages start from $25 a month, and if you want to get really carried away and have access to everything, $799 a year. Or you can just use it for free. It's ideal for IT help desks, even customer feedback surveys, even technology podcasts.
What are you saying? You're going to start one?
I might. Okay. Maybe. I've got to think of who to survey and what to ask.
You need email addresses.
Yeah.
Bang the rocks together, guys.
That's it.
Yeah.
Keep on banging. That's our website, Andrew.
Okay.
www.surveymonkey.com.
Tech Talk Radio, App of the Week.
You're pointing at me. I think that means you want me to do the App of the Week.
Well, you've got a very good application.
I do, because you told
it
to me.
You
did recommend it to me. Last week on the show, we were talking about... what were we talking about? We were talking about...
You said a good application to see what cell site you were logged into with your mobile device was NetMonitor.
That's
right.
And
I said, yes, NetMonitor is good, but in my opinion, there's a better one.
Yeah, and there is by far a much better one. And I did load it up after the show and I said, Dr. Ron, why didn't you tell me about this one sooner?
And I said, you'd never asked.
We could go on like this all night, couldn't we? the actual app is called OpenSignal. And what it does, it's an Android-only app. So if you're other than an Android user, turn away now, close your ears, whatever they say. This is a great little app which lets you check where your phone's connected to, who it's talking to, which cell. If you're in a cellular network, nice little yellow thing pops up on a Google map and says, this is the cell you're using. It even draws red lines if you're lucky sometimes as you're driving to work. It's very interesting to see how many cellular areas you go through. Also, if you're far away on a mountaintop somewhere, very like Mark is, he can probably find out which cell he's on and which provider is doing things for him. And then on the other hand, you've got a wireless device too, so you can see which wireless network you're plugged into.
It's
as
got
well.
A wireless mode as well, hasn't it?
And then for the fox hunters amongst us, and there's a long story, and we won't go into it now. That's radio direction finding types. Nothing, no animal clubbing.
Don't send us hate mail about killing
please
foxes.
Don't send it. There's actually a little. It points in the direction of which the signal is coming from in both your wireless router and your mobile network, which is not what you call 100% accurate, but nothing radio signal-wise ever is. But
it's quite clever if you want to track down where a Wi-Fi access point
is. It's a bit of fun if you lose your Wi-Fi point at home and you go, where did I put that? Just follow the arrow.
At the moment, it's telling me I'm 39 metres from my mobile phone base station.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's pointing really? At it. And no matter which way I move my handset, the arrow always points in the same direction.
You
That's
must
clever,
be on the
isn't
same
it?
Network that I am. Oh, I can see there. It's in the just across the road there where it goes into one lane.
That's the one?
Yeah. So yeah. We're on the same network.
So what's the application name, Andrew?
It's called Open Signal. And Open you can Signal. Find the links on our webpage or just Google it in the Droid Shop and have a bit of a play with it. It's a free app. It does maps. It does graphs. Do speed tests, overviews, all sorts of interesting things. And once again, it's free. So go and have a bit of a play with it. And see what you reckon. How long have you been using it for, Dr. Ron?
A few weeks, I reckon. It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty nifty.
Must be fun in the city. I don't go into the city all that often, but you are. There must be trillions of these little cells and stuff like that in the city, is
there? There are. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Oh, very good. All right, so there you go. There's the Tech Talk Radio app of the week.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bond. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
A woman who claimed she was disabled has been stripped of her divorce settlement after her ex-husband spotted online pictures of her belly dancing.
Oh, I read about this.
Ms. Dorothy McGurk.
McGurk.
Who said she was unable to work because of injuries she sustained in a car accident in 1997, was being paid $850 a month in maintenance for the rest of her natural. But after finding images...
A natural
life.
Okay.
But after finding images on a blog of his 43-year-old ex-wife gyrating, Mr. Brian McGurk took her to court. A New York judge ruled her alimony should be cut to $400 a month.
She get a refund? Oh, no, she
from $850. Richmond County Supreme Court ordered the Staten Island woman to pay her ex-husband's legal fees, and Mr.
McGurk,
who separated from his wife several years ago.
Can I try that, Dr. Ron? Mr. McGurk?
McGurk.
There you go, it works.
See, well, that's work. Was also awarded 60% from the sale silly. Of their former home. Wow. His former spouse had posted online about dancing vigorously for several hours every day. So the moral is, if you're going to rort your disability pension payments and you're going to dance vigorously,
don't do it on the
don't post
YouTube.
Images online.
Add video and put it online. Yeah.
That's our odd spot, Andrew.
Can I add to that tonight too?
Do you think you need to?
I think I do.
Okay. Have you got another odd spot?
I've got another one here because JD.
Yes.
JD?
Yes.
No, GD.
Oh, GD.
I confirm that GD.
Are you talking about
JD.
The panelist or the moderator?
The moderator. GD moderator sends through a lot of stuff as he does, which is really well received over the course. You know, just gives us little tip offs. He sent this one through, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. So you get double bang for your buck here on the odd spot this week. A South Korean who cooked his mobile phone in a microwave and then claimed compensation from the manufacturer, Samsung Electronics, has been jailed for 1 year for extortion.
Aww.
Oh.
The 28-year-old surnamed Lee received about 5 million won, which is about $4,000 Australian, in compensation from Samsung after claiming his phone has exploded while being charged. But no, he popped it in the microwave and put it on high for a few minutes.
People used to do that with their Xboxes. They used to wrap a towel around it when they wanted Microsoft to give them a new one and it would overheat and die. And yeah.
Well, why would you do that?
Because they wanted a new one. When the new one came out, they wanted them to replace it with the new model. Because they're silly and they're cheating.
Well, this goes a little bit further. Following media reports about his claim, Lee staged a one-man protest outside the company's headquarters at Incheon International Airport before being paid the compensation. So there you go.
Hmm.
Get out there, protest, and away you go.
Make a lot
Not
of
bad,
noise.
Huh? Anyway, there's a double wham odd spot for the week. For
TikTok
your listening
radio
pleasure.
Discourages the practice of putting your mobile phones.
Yeah, not
in
good.
Your
Please don't
ovens.
Do that.
Or wrapping your Xbox in a towel.
Yeah. Don't wrap
remember
your
that?
Xbox
that was the red
towel.
Light of death, wasn't it?
Like, red like, ring of death.
That's
yep.
it. Yeah, mm-hmm. red ring of death. Yep. I remember that. Next week we'll come back and do this all again. Who
You've
knows?
Never done that, Lena?
No, never. I would never hurt my baby.
Okay, good.
Don't wrap your iPad 2 in a towel and put it in a microwave either.
Never, never, never.
Never, never, never.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget, contribute. Send us emails. Fill up the first half of the show. Till next week, bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellist Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Guest panellist is Justin Dunlop. Expert opinion by Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and the world that rebroadcast the show. And a reminder that Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. And don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk chat, and solve your tech issues in the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws, and may not be rebroadcast without approval.